I invite you to be with me now in a spirit of prayer. God, as we take time to pause, to listen, to feel the love that surrounds us in this house that we call St. John's, I pray that your word might be in the midst of mine, that your word might lead us to wisdom and to even deeper and greater love, and that that wisdom might guide us in the days ahead. Amen. Before she retired, my mom taught first grade, and I remember every year she did a unit on trickster tales. Stories often passed down through oral tradition involving anthropomorphized animals, animals that talk and do human things. These stories were used to entertain, to illustrate truth and wisdom, to teach lessons about how to behave and treat others, and to help us make sense of human nature and human behavior. Many cultures and traditions from around the world have their own respective fables and trickster stories, often using the same core lesson, but each of them different, all using various animals in different ways to portray human strength and weakness in order to pass down wisdom from one generation to the next. Among the cast of characters that often shows up in these kinds of tales are ones that Jesus makes reference to today in our gospel reading from Luke. Foxes and chickens. Well, a hen in this case, and I had to laugh. I had no idea that this was going to be the picture on the front of our bulletin, but it just fits perfectly with my message. Foxes and chickens seem to turn up in all kinds of interesting stories. Throughout Japanese, African, Native American folklore, foxes cheat, swindle, and sneak their way through life, often much to the dismay of things like chickens and the occasional rabbit and gingerbread man. In most stories of foxes, they are portrayed at the very least as devious, cunning, deceptive, and sneaky, and at their worst, ever-hungry predators. And chickens, well, in most stories, no one really ever wants to be the chicken, do they? Even calling someone a chicken tells a story. They usually aren't portrayed as very smart or brave. They always seem to be vulnerable, defenseless, and finding themselves in precarious situations. And more often than not, they end up as dinner. A fellow UCC pastor observes that chicken and foxes, animals very common in the lives of most rural folk, often show up in stories meant to teach us something. Their very commonness makes them good metaphors for human behavior. And of course, Jesus, the great storyteller and teacher, was quick to embrace a metaphor that he thought would help him communicate more clearly with his people. He knew the power of chickens and foxes. He knew that anyone could sometimes be sneaky and a dangerous presence, and there was always one waiting to gobble you up. He also knew that hens aren't as helpless as you think. Not only was he willing to put his faith in the chickens of the world, he was prepared to gather them in under wing and embody the steadfast grace and fierce grit of a mother hen. You see, Jesus has work he must do, and no sneaking, conniving fox was going to stop him. When we meet Jesus today, he has been at work for a while, anointed by God to bring good news to the poor, to set captives free, to give healing to the sick and sight to the blind, justice to the oppressed, light to those forgotten in darkness, and that is exactly what he did. He began to bring about mercy and justice. He proclaimed the kingdom and prophesied the power of God. He healed chronically ill people. He performed miracles, cast out demon after demon. He argued with the Pharisees and teachers of the law about what was most important. Jesus didn't mince words, particularly with his disciples. We've heard him say time and time again just how costly, how dangerous, how risky it was and will be to follow him, to even associate with him, to claim him as friend or Lord, and to do this kingdom work with him. Having learned that his own cousin John has been murdered by King Herod after John had angered him by calling out his hypocrisy, Jesus knew that Herod the fox was on the hunt. But Jesus did not render evil for evil. Even though he knew that his work was dangerous, he did not stop doing it, nor did he start doing it deceptively. Jesus was no fox. He did not sneak around behind authorities' back, and he did not just survive on what he could steal or sneak away in the night. His work required him to be a public figure, to shine a light, to call out the injustices, and to argue with the authorities. His vocation was often out loud, prophetic, and messy, not sleek or sneaky or foxy. So we know Jesus wasn't a fox, but if I say he was a chicken, you might get the wrong idea. But consider this. Wasn't Jesus always on the side of the chickens? The most vulnerable, the easiest target, the one with the least defenses? Wasn't Jesus' work and call as prophet and Messiah like that of a hen? Pecking, squawking, clucking, crooning, brooding to save her beloved chicks, the people of Jerusalem. His whole life had been oriented towards caring for others, towards carrying the truth to his people and testifying to God's power by the least powerful means necessary. And now here he is, headed to Jerusalem, the place where the chicks were in most need of tending and saving, and the place where powerful foxes were lurking behind every corner and would do the most damage. The Pharisees, as we meet them today, don't really seem to understand Jesus' not-so-powerful power thing he has going on, especially in a culture where foxes ruled the roost. They are afraid for Jesus, even though he's been a little bit of a nuisance and a thorn in their side. Regardless of their disagreements, at this point in Luke, they don't want to see him get killed. So they try to warn him that Herod is out for blood. But Jesus understands his calling and is relentless in pursuit of Jerusalem. So he dismisses Herod as a fox, and as we know, enters straight into the danger that lies ahead. Now, while Herod the fox doesn't concern Jesus, the future of his people does. That's what he spends most of his energy talking about in our passage today. Jesus was really concerned about the people of Jerusalem. As the home of the temple, the building which housed the very presence of God, Jerusalem represented all the people of Israel. And he had to get there. He felt pulled and drawn to share the good news with them and to save them. But he also knows his people's history. He knows that people do not take kindly to prophets. His words this morning offer deep and sincere lament for his people's current state and for the future, one in which they will ignore his words and refuse to build God's reign with him. He laments a possible future where the authorities will continue to hoard power and food, and orphans and widows will go hungry, where a spirit of compassion and grace at the heart of the law will get lost in rigidity and self-righteousness. Jesus, who sees no future in the cunning of the fox, longs to offer the nurture and protection of the mother hen. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under wing, and yet you were not willing. Jesus understands his divine work as that of nurture and protection. Jesus will be different. He will not beat his people into submission as the tyrants of the empire do. Instead, he offers puffed up clucks of the mother hen, watching and gathering her chicks safely under wing, nurturing them into the people God is calling them to be. This mother hen who would gladly, instinctively put herself between the fox and her brood. She is vulnerable to violence, but willing to risk her own body to save. Even as Jesus knows his prophetic role puts him in harm's way, he is willing to risk his life to tend to the needs of his people. With this one lovely brooding hen image, Jesus has reminded us that the core of his call, the core of our call as followers, is not anger or self-interest, but sacrificial love, not self-preservation, not self-promotion. Our world has forever been, and as we are painfully aware, currently suffering, hurting, warring, dying, bearing the scars of sleek foxes and rulers with agendas that revolve around power and money and self. In the midst of war-torn landscapes, this image of a mother hen, wings outstretched with plenty of room for all, is a welcome sight and one that touches me deeply. I won't lie, loving, trusting a vulnerable mother hen like God is the riskiest thing some of us can imagine doing. We'd prefer a lion or maybe a really angry bear. Something tall and big. We are even drawn in by the idea of a crafty fox who, yeah, he might be shady, but always wins. And yet, a yearning mother hen is the image we have. Debbie Thomas, a favorite commentator of mine, writes this: "What would it take for us to embrace Jesus' vulnerability as our strength? To trade in our images of a conquering, triumphant God for the mother hen God of this lectionary passage. Maybe what we need most this Lent is not a fox-like divinity who wields power with sly intelligence and sharp teeth, but a mother hen who calls to us with longing and desperation, her wings held patiently and bravely open. A mother hen who plants herself in the hot center of danger and offers refuge there. There at ground zero where the feathers fly and the blood is shed." In this season of Lent, we are called to reflect, to repent, and we are also called to return. In fact, I believe that is what this passage and this season is all about. "You were not willing," Jesus tells his wandering children. And yet, we have a God who gathers. Gathers not just the ones who willingly find shelter under wing, but even those of us who turn away. Those of us who are still drawn in by the allure of power and prominence and control as the world defines it. The image of chicks snuggling under a mother hen's wing is an image of gathering, of community, of oneness, but it also requires deep surrender, a tempering of our individualistic, every man for himself, I must win mindset. When I watch the news and see horrifying images of thousands of Ukrainian brothers and sisters squished into underground railway systems, dozens of children hiding out in a basement. When I read about people all over the world booking Airbnb reservations that they have no intention of keeping, just so that expenses are paid for those fleeing to neighboring countries needing a safe place to rest and be. When I hear about mothers in Poland leaving their strollers in railroad stations for Ukrainian mothers that have to flee their country, babies in tow, I know that ours is a God who gathers. I know that ours is a God who is found wherever people are huddling together for safety. I know that ours is a God who shows up when lost, wandering children need somewhere and someone to call home. I know that ours is a God who denounces power that sends people scattering and fleeing in fear. I know that ours is a God who longs for us to return, longs to draw us in, hold us close, and do whatever it takes, even give of his own beloved flesh and blood to save us from ourselves. There will always be foxes, like the evil one we met last week, lurking, hiding, waiting for that opportune time to lure us toward power that puts self above all. But I assure you, there is nothing chicken about God. Our strong mother hen, watching and gathering in her chicks safely under wing, nurturing us into the people God is calling us to be, showing victory in vulnerability, strength in weakness, power in the giving of self on behalf of all. May we have the courage to be willing, to not turn away from the gathering spirit that leads us onward in this Lenten journey, in a world desperately in need, not of the love of power, but of the power of God's love. May it be so. Amen.